Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Lori Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the always amazing...
Oh, thank you, Lori. It's Bernie Siegel here, calling in from the Catskill Mountains.
Ah, and I'm calling in from New York City, and our guest is calling in from, I guess it's sunny Florida, but we'll find out soon. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We believe in Coach Chat. If you change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this show for coaches or those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And we have outdone ourselves today with Barbara Canyon. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori and Bernie. Totally my pleasure to be with you again.
Let me tell you a little bit about Barbara. She's a business and personal life coach and co-author of the motivational book, Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets for Creating the Life You Really Want. Barbara and her husband, Alan, have worked together since 1989, providing coaching solutions to individuals and companies. Their unique coaching process is designed to help people overcome obstacles and move quickly to their desired results. Barbara is a certified coach with the International Coach Federation, a graduate of Coach U, and holds a master's degree in counseling. So, Bernie, what burning questions do you have for Barbara? I've got a couple.
Well, I was hoping on our call today to talk about Barbara's book, Barbara and Alan's book, Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets of Creating the Life You Really Want. I have it on my coffee table. And anytime I have a few minutes in between Netflix, I may open up the book and look at something fun. And I say fun because they're simple things to do, but they're really powerful. So, Barbara, first I'd like to know is how did you come about writing this book?
Thanks for asking, Bernie. The book came about as a result of my husband's brilliant idea to send out every Monday morning a free 30-second motivational tip via email. He came up with this idea almost 20 years ago. He said, we ought to do this, you know, just a little shot in the arm and call it Fire Up Your Week. Send it out every Monday morning. I loved the idea. And in the beginning, we sent it out to my mom and dad, my sister, a friend here and there, and that was about it. Eventually, they would forward these messages on to their friends. We would give them to our clients, and we have continued to do this every week for, again, almost 20 years. And today, we have people in many time zones around the world that get it every Monday morning. And we, every week, almost without exception, receive an email from one person or another that says, how'd you know I needed to hear that today? And their answer is, because we needed to hear that today. We write what we need, and it seems to be kind of a universal need for some at any given time. And eventually we said, you know what, there's a book in these messages. They were very popular, so we picked out 25 of our favorite messages, and voila, the book came about. Instead of Fire Up Your Week, it's now Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets for Creating the Life You Really Want.
Wow, that's great, and I'm actually a fan. I get mine on Sunday evening, and I look forward to seeing it on Sunday evening for the next week.
Oh, I love hearing that, Bernie, and I hear that from so many people. So I figure one day I said to Alan, maybe we've been doing this for so long, maybe we ought to give it a break. And then at that very moment we'll get an email, and they'll say, how did you know I needed to hear that this week? So
yeah, don't do that. No breaks.
We get people that unsubscribe too. So
yeah, how do they? Because I also get it Sunday evenings, and I look forward to it. And it only takes like a couple of minutes to read, but there's always something in there that's like, oh, okay, that's good. That can actually get you at least for the night and probably for the week. So how do people subscribe to that?
Thank you for asking. They go to our website, kenyoncoaching.com. K-E-N is a Nancy, Y-O-N is a Nancy, kenyoncoaching.com. And right on that very homepage is a place to put your name and email address, and you're in. And then if at some later point you've had enough of that Kenyon coaching message and you don't want to be a subscriber, at the very bottom of each message, you just push unsubscribe, and you're gone. We have both. We have people signing up. We have people that have enough of us. And, you know, one other detail I did learn recently is a lot of people forward our message onto their children, sometimes unsolicited. And if one of their children receive it and don't want it, they push unsubscribe. That removes the parent. So now when I see, every once in a while I'll see somebody unsubscribe, I thought, oh my gosh, they've been a subscriber for 15 years. I wonder what happened. And I had, that's how I found out that your kid can erase you. So the message is don't forward them, you know, blindly to your children, especially if they don't appreciate the message.
There you go. There you go. Well, let me tell them a little bit about this, because I love your book. I told you that when I read it many moons ago. But you have 25 secrets on how to create the life you really want. But in addition, you have these really cool quotes. You've got coaching case studies. You have personal anecdotes, of course, and entertaining exercises that cover areas like all over, from everything that you want to know. So it's kind of an interactive book. It's an inspirational book. It's just something that, and you can, and I noticed that you wrote it in 2008. And what's really amazing is that it's still applicable today. And Lord knows what we've gone. 2008, the market was crashing. 2020, we don't even know what happened. We're still trying to figure that out. And yet all the advice in there is just applicable, you know, currently. So what's one of your favorite secrets?
I looked over my book just before our call because I needed to be reminded. I like all of them because each one of those speaks to me in a certain way. But I'll pick my top three. How about that? And thank you for giving me that intro, Lori, about how each secret, they all include a simple exercise to essentially eliminate the blocks. Everybody has goals and dreams, but they also have blocks that prevent them from getting there. And so that was the point of having this little simple exercise. One of my favorite secrets, ask. Secret number three, ask for what you need, what you want in life. Do you know how many people are reluctant to do that?
Yeah.
And the reason, and I believe the reason is the fear of rejection. What if they say no? What if they say no? I remember what came to mind when we wrote that chapter was when I went through coach training at Coach U, one of the assignments was to interview a really successful coach and learn that person's secrets to success. So I loved that exercise, and I've always enjoyed interviewing people. So I thought, I'm not going to interview just one. I'm going to go for maybe half a dozen. And one in particular was one of the biggest names in the coaching industry at the time. This was, you know, back in 2000, so over 20 years ago. And I really wanted to talk to her. I sent her an email and told her I didn't, you know, could I have some time? And she mentioned that she was quite busy, but she could give me 10 minutes. And I thought, we'll see about that. So I called her, and 45 minutes later, she's still telling me every secret and loving every minute of sharing her tips with me. And, of course, I was a more than willing listener. So what did that tell me? That told me that 10 minutes doesn't have to be ever 10 minutes, right? And it really has empowered me. I am quite courageous about asking for things. And if people say no, oh, well, you know, brush myself off, move on. But it's amazing how you can get what you need when you're courageous enough to ask.
I remember, and I always, my grandmother taught me a lot of what how I am today, actually. Interesting. She was a very pushy woman, and she said, if you don't ask, the answer's always the same, no.
That's right.
And so I anyone around me, whether it's clients or friends, and I agree with you, they people don't want to ask because there's this fear. And as long as you do it, you know, nicely, with tact and finesse, I ask all the time. And a lot of times people want to help. So they're happy to help you.
You are so right, and you had a really wise mother, grandmother, who shared that with you. And again, people fear rejection, and they don't realize that as this coach, she really wanted to help, and she could see that I was just eating up everything she was saying to me, and that was feeding her need to, be useful, and so it was totally win-win. So I want to empower every listener on this show. If there's something that they're sitting back from, or what if they say no, or it's not going to work out to my advantage, or whatever, as you say, Bernie, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Bernie shared that information, or that tidbit of wisdom with me, I'm going to say like almost 10 years ago, and I've always kept that in my head. It's like, if you don't ask, how will you ever know? And so good. So we're all on the same page with that one. I know. Okay. Let me tell you one of my favorites, and then we'll go to Bernie, and then we'll go back around to yours. How about that?
Okay, good.
One of my favorites is secret number 22, get off your butt.
Oh, yeah.
How did that come about? I love that one.
Well, isn't that, I'm going to pull it up in my book. It is all about butt, get off your butt. I would do this, but I would do that, but. And isn't it really easy to find excuses for anything that you don't want to do?
Yep,
definitely.
Yeah. And that's, again, it's not a fear of rejection as much as it is just a fear of the unknown, perhaps. And it's always about fear. So, I love this quote by Eleanor Roosevelt. I don't know if I have it on that particular chapter, but it's, do the thing you fear the most, and the death of fear is certain.
Yeah.
I love that quote.
I saw that somewhere in the book. I'm not sure it's on this one, but it's on one of them, yeah.
Yeah. So being able to get off your butts and just go for it. I want to live my dream, but I must take a step to improve my relationship. We can always find the butts, can't we, with everything?
Yeah.
But what will happen? And what if I fail? And what if I look stupid? All of that.
Yeah. And you have a great, when you're talking about it, you go, when your yes but thought appears, just hit your mental delete button and move on. Get rid of it. Nobody needs it.
You don't realize how powerful that little exercise is. Just imagining having a little button on the side behind your ear. My husband used to say in our workshops, a little button behind your ear. And anytime that little self-doubt creeps in, just push that button. And act as if, that's another chapter, act as if you are capable and strong and powerful, which everybody really is. And, how would you walk? How would you hold your head if you really believed every bit of that confidence thing? And it works. As you said, Bernie, it's all, everything in this book is pretty simple stuff, but it's always timely, and it just works.
Yeah. It's funny, when Lori brought that up, I was thinking, when I read your inspirational items on Sunday, it's get off your ass, actually. Get off your ass. Because most of the tips are about doing that. Do something. And so that's what I always think. It pushes me a little bit. One of the things I had some fun with, I was looking at one of your tips, it's sharpen your people skills, and it was about EQ. And I said, well, okay, I guess he's writing about emotional intelligence. And then I read a little further and said, oh, no, it's not that EQ. It's the enthusiasm quotient, and I really like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
And another thing is, and I think Alan, my husband was employed by the Dale Carnegie Program before we started our own company, and talk about timely information. Dale Carnegie wrote his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I think in 1920, something like that, more than 100 years ago. And everything in that book is as relevant then as it, I mean, now as it was then. And his phrase, the Carnegie's, was act enthusiastic and you'll be enthusiastic. So, and you can act the part. Have you ever tried that when you're really dreading something and you just kind of change your whole demeanor and put on a big smile and just imagine all kinds of wonderful things will come as a result? And it delivers. It happens. You get what you expect, kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I really do appreciate that. I on a different note, you know, the interactions I have lately, not too many, but with younger people, I'll say in their 20s, it's really scary to me because it seems like I could take this book and they have every single item in here they do, meaning they're not doing it. And,
yeah.
And I blame a lot of it on these, you know, anti-social networking, I call it. But what are your thoughts about what's happening today with, you know, maybe younger people, but also older people, as it relates to how we communicate with each other now?
Yeah, wow, that's a heavy question, and I don't have a simple answer for that. But I do believe in the Buddhist phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And, you know, and younger children in their 20s may not be ready to take on some of this kind of stuff. I can see with my own daughter, who is in her just turned 32, and all of a sudden she's starting to grasp some more mature way of thinking with her career and so forth. And so, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when you get sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, that's when changes start to occur. And I guess the people that you're referring to just aren't sick and tired enough of being sick and tired.
No.
That's a
short
answer.
You know, I'm wondering, though, I'm not sure people know how to communicate anymore, and especially after being on lockdown for a year. But it's like I'm wondering, what effect do you think that the social media phenomenon, where people don't have to communicate, they just have to plug into a computer or whatever, how is that affecting creating the life that you want?
I think it's had a really big impact in a negative sort of way. I think that they, you know, the research has shown that people, especially the younger people, have become way more introverted, you know, as a result of texting and all this electronic way of life. And it's, and I don't know how that is ever going to resolve itself. And it's so easy, you know, when I receive a text from somebody, I'm not sure how to take some of them. And it's never what they mean, so you don't get the inflection in the voice, and it's just a series of, you know. And I don't know the answer to that question. It's a great question, and I hope the pendulum will swing the other way once COVID is totally behind us and we can live a more socialized existence. But I suspect some of these problems are going to last a very long time.
Well, I hope so. I'm mentoring a young person in their 20s who's going to be a teacher, going to school in Long Island, and have to find a friend whose two daughters are teachers and actually teaching in his area. They've been doing it for 10 years. So I asked them, I said, would you like to connect with them so that you can find out, you know, maybe some of the ins and outs and what to do or not to do and what worked and what didn't work? He said, yes. So I got him the information. He goes, okay, do you think it's okay if I text them three questions? And I said, that's a horrible idea. And I don't think to this day he ever picked up the phone, because he probably doesn't know how to talk. His mother usually does the talking. But that aside, that's why I think this is really depressing. I'm looking at ignite your sense of humor, and I think we're doing some of that now.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, and to your point, Bernie, people in general are, again, it's the fear factor. You give them a phone number and their skills are rusty because they didn't probably develop them in the first place. And then people, when you're a certain generation, they are afraid to ask. They don't, you know, it's just a sign of the times. And it takes a very strong personality to be a great connector. I love connecting with people. I do it all the time. I to the embarrassment of my family occasionally, because you know, I really walk my talk in terms of asking for what I need and what I want. But a lot of times I can see with my own kids, I'll say, well, just call them. Just ask them this. And it's never a just. It's never a just. And the texting is so much easier, but somewhat inefficient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find myself, if someone leaves me a message on the phone, it could be days before I get it, you know? I just don't even, I barely use the phone anymore except to coach. And And that's what I'll do when I'll pick it up to go call somebody. It's like, oh, my God, somebody left me a message 2 days ago. So, yeah, I'm guilty of that, too. It is much easier to text or email. I guess we're all just falling into it. But I wish that we had mandatory connectivity time, you know. It's like you got to talk to somebody at least once every 2 days or something. I don't know.
That would be really nice. And when you do make that phone call, that would be a great challenge to put out there. You know, reach out to one person that's that you haven't spoken to in a really long time, and you like them. You just because, you know, because for a variety of reasons, you just haven't gotten around to it. And as one of my old friends used to say, there are no periods at the end of sentences when you do that. It's just commas. And even though you haven't spoken to them in a few years, you sort of pick up where you left off. Comma, continue. You know, do you all know people like that you just haven't reached out to? And yet...
Yes, that's a great exercise to just go ahead and call them, you know?
We had a Fire Up Your Week message about that one time. I should, in fact, revisit that. You know, reach out to one person that you really like that you haven't spoken to in a long time. It's just, it's one of the most delicious things when you can reconnect.
Definitely.
As one of my friends said, the one thing you can never make in life is old friends. So reach out to one of those old ones and see what you've got there.
It's so fulfilling. I live in the mountains also part-time near in the Catskills, and must have a dozen neighbors on one particular, you know, block, and really just smiled and used to wave at them. And someone new moved in and decided to have a little party with all the neighbors. Now we're all friends, and communicating, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to one of their houses for Thanksgiving. We give referrals out to each other in terms of, you know, people that do work in the area. I tell you, I enjoy it so much, and all we needed was one person as the catalyst sort of bring us all together. And unfortunately, it was not me.
Well, everybody's always waiting for the other guy to make the first move. There is that. And so it's amazing how reluctant people are to make that. I remember when we moved here in the Villages, Florida, it was 10 years ago. I can hardly believe I've been here for 10 years. And it was in a September, and we didn't have any friends here, and New Year's was coming. And I thought, I'm going to throw a New Year's Eve party. Alan and I were going to throw a New Year's Eve party. And I went from door to door to door. I didn't even really know. There's 15 houses on our cul-de-sac. And I went to every one of them. I said, you know, it's a Kenyan house, 9 p.m., New Year's Eve party. Be there, be square kind of thing. And several of the people said, oh, we don't celebrate New Year's. We just, you know, go to bed at 10 o'clock. I said, nope, not this year. And we were all new in the same block. Everybody had moved in. So I said, no, we're starting a new tradition. So Alan and I looked at each other and thought, what the heck? I don't even know what we're going to get here. But anyway, people showed up at 9 o'clock. They all came. And at 1:15, they were still here, 1:15 in the morning. And, half of them said things like, we've never done this. We haven't done this since we were kids. It was a blast. And we continued the tradition for about the next 7 years, every single New Year's Eve at our house. And it was everybody looked forward to it the whole year. And then finally, about the eighth year, somebody said, we're just too tired for this. We're not coming. And we disbanded and did something else. But, again, everybody waits for the other person to make the first move. And we did.
That's so cool when you can say, I'm the person who did that. And you're right. It's just like, well, if somebody wanted it done, they do it. So why would I not?
Yeah. And I think a lot of those people who came really didn't want to come. They just didn't want to be ostracized from the neighborhood because nobody knew each other that well.
It's fear of rejection.
Fear of rejection. That's right.
Once again. Let me talk to you. I want to talk to you about red light thinking and green light thinking. And that comes under secret number 23, which is the magic of letting go. And I'm going to read what you have and then I want you to sort of explain that. It says, letting go of the feeling of fear will leave you with courage. Letting go of the feeling of doubt will leave you with confidence. Letting go of the feeling of stress will leave you with peace. Letting go of the feeling of sadness will leave you with happiness, which makes sense. But it's like, what are your, because you've got this red light, green light thinking. What is that? How can we do that? I mean, easier said than done, I'm sure.
It is easier said than done. When you have something that's weighing heavily on your mind, how easy is it to let it go?
No.
It's not easy, is it?
No.
No, it's not. But you know something, if you learn, if you make a different kind of a choice, and again, every exercise in this book is all about being mindful, and tweak your thinking a little bit. One of the things I like to do is visualization exercises. So when people have some heavy thing on their mind that they just can't let go of, they just can't let go of it, there are some techniques for it. Imagine it in a hot air balloon and just sort of visually letting it go into the atmosphere. There was another technique that I learned from a book called The Sedona Method. I believe that's where I learned this from, where you literally imagine having a pressure cooker. You know what a pressure cooker is? One of those pots with a cover and it has that little gizmo on the top?
Yeah.
Okay. Open up that pressure cooker and put every single thing you want to let go, every bit of anger, everything that's weighing heavily on your mind that is not serving you well. Imagine dumping every one of those feelings in that pressure cooker. Can you do that? You with me so far here?
Yeah.
Okay. And then when you feel like you have literally filled this pot up to the top, put the cover on it, put the little gizmo thing on it, and envision it boiling away, boiling, 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 and then boiling, boiling, boiling some more. And then ultimately when you feel like you've boiled the guts out of those feelings, those negative feelings, remove the little thing on top. And imagine the sound that you'll be hearing, that kind of a sound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then imagine opening up the pot, and it is 100% empty.
Ah.
Simple little exercise. I can't tell you how many clients that I have shared that with or in workshops, and they said it's like magic. And if you didn't boil it all or it starts rearing its ugly head again, that thought, that moment, you know, all that anger that accompanies it, have a do-over. Put it in the pot again. Go through the whole process. It's the simple stuff in life that really works. That's how you let go of stuff. It's not serving you well, and in your brain you know that. But if you can't accompany that thought with some kind of an exercise, it'll probably linger there.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, but so many people, most people, just live miserably. And they communicate the misery with their friends and their family who do it back to them. And and it's just like that's just how the world works. And the coach comes in and can show them it doesn't have to be that way. They're kind of surprised, you know, isn't this the way it is? You know, everyone's miserable.
Absolutely. And that misery likes company, so they're hearing all of that. I don't really participate in that kind of conversation because it bores me to death, and it's so debilitating. It does, you know, and I don't want to live a life like that. So I don't have very many friends that are like that. I don't really have any that are like that. So I'm probably a drag to them, like this positive thinking person. But it's no effort on my part to be positive thinking. I'm just fortunately wired in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are not.
And I find the people that who are like Debbie Downers, they don't want to be around you either because they're kind of set in their ways. So they don't want to hear like Pollyanna stuff like, oh, you know, there's always a positive way to see that. So we kind of have a way of sectioning ourselves off for those people that are going to bring you on up and get you where you want to go. And that is just so what your book has done. Where can we get your book? Because we only have like about a minute left. Where can we get your book?
Amazon.com, of course, Barnes & Noble, the websites. Our website, KenyonCoaching.com, we offer the book for sale on that site as well. But those are the places. And it makes a great gift, especially during the holiday season. I have a lot of clients and friends who have given them to their children And they're, you know, the children that are 12, 13, 14 years old. And I have heard such wonderful feedback about that. The good news about this book is each chapter is only 3 pages long. We have a lot of attention deficit disorder in my family with very short attention spans. So we wanted to write a book where people could get through it, even with the worst ADD on their, on their belt. So...
I can't think of a better way to start out the new year than using 25 secrets to get where you want to go. Barbara, thank you so much. We love having you on the show. Bernie, have fun up there. Happy Thanksgiving to you. And we will all be back in December. So, Barbara, thank you again. And take care, everybody. We'll see you in December.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.